are not expositions in the normal sense. I certainly think of them more and prefer for you to think of them as studies. Yet at the same time, I do trust that as you follow along week by week, you realize that what we're doing is kind of just a very large and extended study of the text set before us here, and that the things that we're saying are arising from this blessed chapter. Titus chapter 2. Tonight we will simply read verses 3 through 5. Let's fix our hearts. By the way, if you are following along with Martha Peace's book, we are in the second portion of her book, which talks about the Titus 2 woman's character. I know some of you have the book, and I believe it was your purpose to read along. I haven't been sending out assignments. It probably would be a good idea to do. But we're in that area which talks about character. And we've talked about women maturing, both in, in all three of the areas of doctrine, character, and ministry. So that's we're in this area of character. We're going to spend some time here because this is crucial. Now let's hear the word of God, beginning in verse 3. Titus is to preach sound doctrine, that the aged women likewise, that they may be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Amen. That is a wonderful passage. And I pray that you do not grow weary of hearing it. Now, Jesus Christ, the head of His churches, has ordained Holy Spirit-empowered preaching of sound doctrine to produce many precious fruits in the congregations of His people. Now, let me repeat that. All right? Jesus Christ has ordained Holy Spirit-empowered preaching of sound doctrine to produce many precious fruits in the congregations of His people. This should be a living thing. It is tended over by the living Christ. And one of the most precious fruits is holy, aged women. Once God's transforming truth has taken root in an aged woman's heart, the Holy Spirit matures her for a vital role in Christ's churches. And that is discipling younger women. Let me repeat, and this is something that I will bring up from time to time. This is never to be in conflict or competition with the discipling done by the entire congregation. By the elders of the entire congregation. And it can turn into that kind of thing. It is something that is a part of the congregation that takes place in day-to-day life. It is not a formal office. Now, that being said, those who are aged in Christ should be good examples of the love of truth and the love of godly living to the younger. Again, let me repeat that. The Holy Spirit works in God's people. He works in them. And one of the fruits of that is that the aged in Christ, those that are older in years and have matured in the Lord, that they should be a good example of the love of truth and the love of godly living to the younger. Richard Baxter puts it this way: the aged must be examples of wisdom, gravity, and holiness unto the younger. Where should they find any virtues in eminence if not in you, that have so much time and helps and experiences? It may well be expected that nothing but savory, wise, and holy come from your mouths, and nothing unbeseeming wisdom and godliness be seen in your lives. Unbeseeming here means inappropriate, something that is not appropriate for wisdom. Such as you would have your children after you to be, such show yourselves to them in all your conversation. Conversation there again is in the sense that we find it used in the King James translation. It does not mean our sitting down and talking. The idea of conversation here is your behavior, your life. So, as we would see in our children, we should live before them. So it is in the congregation of God's people, is that especially in the context here of the aged woman, that she should live in such a way as she would like to see the younger women growing, encouraged, maturing. She should love the truth before them, live truth before them, and have relationships with them that help them in their paths. A Church of Jesus Christ should have within its fold aged women who, like a fine wine, have fermented in the gospel of grace, the sovereignty of God, the lordship of Christ, justification by faith alone, and the pursuit of holiness. In other words, sound doctrine. Now, we have considered the need for Titus 2 women in Christ's churches. And we have defined a Titus 2 woman as a mature woman who is born of God's Spirit and is godly, or is a godly, self-controlled mentor of younger Christian women. And because of her role in discipling young women, she must be mature in doctrine, in character, and ministry. Doctrine first, that is the foundation. In Scripture, truth is not separated from living. Now, in our day, in many churches and in much modern theology, it is. People can sit and babble about the truth without ever living any of it. That is not biblical in the slightest sense. The idea of our knowing God and His Word is that our lives might be transformed, and that our lives might be good representatives of His glorious saving grace. And of course, in this context, we're talking about women. So there should be a clear understanding of fundamental doctrine, regular study, hearing of this truth, character that arises from it, growing and applying those truths to your lives, and ultimately ministering to the younger women in ways that bring glory to the Lord and encourage the young women. So, she must above all be a woman of holy character, trusting in Christ, informed by His Word, filled with His Spirit, living in godliness. With those things in mind, we have a very simple outline this evening. But we want to focus on the two headings that we will consider. And that's, first of all, a Titus 2 woman is a teacher of good things. We read that in the text. Paul said to Titus, "Be constantly preaching and teaching the things which are consistent with sound doctrine, so that the older women will become teachers of good things." There's an end in view. We're not simply to be, if I can put it this way, pew potatoes who just sit and either grade the sermons or just take in more Bible facts, and we become fat-headed without being people who live what we're hearing. We are to grow in the application of the truth to our lives, because there's a goal in mind. The ultimate goal is that we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's eternal purpose. But right here, for the older woman, there is a very important goal in mind. This points to an important relationship that should exist between older and younger women in a healthy congregation of Jesus Christ. Martha Peace says, "Older women are instructed in Titus 2 to teach and encourage the younger women. Often, the older woman will discern actions or patterns of thinking in the younger women that are sinful or foolish. They will pray for the younger women, but do nothing else." Why? A common answer seems to be, "If I say anything, she will get mad at me." That's kind of like one of the last things in the world that any of us wants to endure, is someone getting angry with us. We're pretty wimpy. Now, there's some important things here for us to consider. This is true. I know. By the way, men are easily fallen into this way of thinking as well. "Well, you know, I don't want to say anything as I see someone." Now, we're not talking about opinions. We're talking about seeing someone in a pattern of sinful attitude, sinful behavior. Now, we don't say anything. That is not love. It's not love for God, because it's disobedience to the clear instruction of His Word. Number two, it's not love for the person to let them go on in error, no matter how upset they get. By the way, if they get upset, it only speaks of their awful spiritual condition. If you cannot take a brother or a sister correcting you, you are in seriously bad spiritual health. The Scriptures say, "Let the righteous smite me. It will be a kindness." If you're so full of pride that nobody can say anything to you, your problem isn't probably the thing that they're correcting you about in the first place. It's your towering arrogance. What are you? What am I? But a saved sinner, worthy of nothing but hell, and clearly fallible. We have to be able to give and receive correction. Now, sometimes it's true, because we're fallible, we can offer correction or offer reproof to people, and we're wrong. It happens. But can't you love someone who loved you enough to try to tell you something? This is one of the things that's really problematic. And in a healthy church, that this doesn't just apply to the older women, to the younger women. It applies to everybody. Now, I'm not saying, and there are always people in the church that don't have any problem rebuking anybody. They love to do it. They look for opportunities. I'm not talking about that. Those are people themselves that need reproof. They're just constantly going around all the time finding fault with people and pointing them out. But this, we're talking about a gracious, loving, though sometimes firm, speaking plainly to someone's attitude, to their words, to actions that you see. Yeah, let me tell you, if you cannot take reproof from a believer, you have desperate spiritual problems rooted in pride. So, we want to get over that. We don't want to be in each other's faces all the time. That's not what we're saying. But there are times when we have to speak to things. None of us sees ourselves well. I mean, you have to be married very long for you to begin to realize, okay, I've got to help my spouse see me better. Right? They get upset with things that, you know, you've lived with all your life. You didn't think they were a problem. People see you, and they see you for what you are, and we often don't see ourselves. Yes, yes, I understand. We can misunderstand that, and we can misread people. There are people who have such a negative view on life, not always sure where it comes from, but there are people who have such a cockeyed view of things, they can't read anything that other people do in the right light. But those are the exceptions. We are talking about the way it ought to be. So, an older woman who will not say anything, and a younger woman who will not receive loving reproof, are both spiritually unhealthy. Men, that goes to us as well. Martha Peace goes on to say, obviously this is a problem because God intends the older women to teach and encourage the younger women. The process should be as natural as slipping your hand into a glove that fits perfectly. If both will do what is right, the older one reaching out in love to the younger and the younger one responding in humility with a teachable heart, God will be glorified, the older woman will overcome her fear, and the younger woman will grow in grace by leaps and bounds. I fully agree with what she says here. So then, if we follow the inspired text carefully, we will see that the Titus 2 woman is a teacher of good things. And that means that she's a mature, experienced, older Christian woman, transformed by sound doctrine. And she helps younger women to understand and live God's vision of womanhood. God's vision of womanhood. Teacher of good things. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about those good things that Paul lays out here. But for the time being, we're just focusing on the fact that this is ultimately the goal. Sound preaching should be transforming lives. The power of the Holy Spirit should be effectually working here. Fruit should be appearing in the tree, the limbs of the tree of your life, so to speak. And that applies to all of us, but right now I'm talking to the women and those especially who hope to be or already are in the realm of being Titus 2 women. That's the goal. That's, as we've said before, that's not for some special woman. That's for all women. This is a glorious way of encouraging the church of Jesus Christ to seek to be what God has made you as a woman and to be that blessed functioning part of a congregation. first thing to say about this is that it is God's grace that makes her a teacher. It's God's grace that makes her a teacher. Now, it's true. By nature and the constitution that the Lord gave us, some people, male or female, are better at expressing themselves than others. There are people who are aware that they don't express themselves well. And there are people that are seemingly unaware that they do not express themselves well. Now, sometimes if you go to their homes, if you see where they come from, get their background, get around their family, sometimes you hear the way they talk to each other and you realize they're still talking the way they were in their house. And we expect everybody else to live and talk and breathe like we did in our homes. Doesn't work that way. Anybody that's been married more than about 2 or 3 weeks understands this. Right? Which, by the way, just as a footnote, all of us ought to work very hard at being good communicators. We just say what we say and expect everybody to get it. Life fail at that point. Right? We should work at being good communicators. But we're not all gifted the same way as others. But everyone can improve. That said, even those who, in and of their natural constitution, are not particularly gifted communicators, can speak truth by the grace of God to younger women and be a great blessing, a great encouragement to them. The four English words, teacher of good things, come from one Greek word. Greek scholar William Mounts, who you will always hear me quote whenever we get around the book of Titus or any of the pastoral epistles. He says, elderly women must teach what is good. And it's one huge Greek word, kalodidaskalos. But our four little English words all come from that. This word occurs only here in Greek literature, and it could be the fact that Paul coined this. Context shows that this refers not to an official teaching position in the church, but rather to informal, one-on-one encouragement. I've read that before, but I'm bringing it back up again because it's a very important thing for us to grasp. This is a vital point. The idea of a teacher of good things is not a formal office in the church of Christ, but it is a vital function in the body of Christ. As any organ we have may have greater or lesser impact on our body, but it still needs to be there, so it is with each of the members of the body of Christ. It's never to be a one-man show or a two- or three-man show. There may be those who are more visible because of the authoritative teaching function that God has given them. But that teaching is first of all, to bring glory to Christ, not to them. And it's to build His body, not His reputation. So, a woman who thinks, well, you know, I'm not a big deal. I don't have a degree. I dropped out of school and never went to college. Or, okay, you know, I've never been able to speak very well. I understand when we sense our limitations. But that's when we have to transcend our limitations and by faith trust the living Christ who saved us and speak a word of truth. You've been called to be a teacher of good things. It is a way of life. Can I put it to you that way? It's a way of life. It's a holy, blessed form of mentoring. Well, let's talk about what a mentor is then for a few moments. God's grace makes her a mentor. A mentor is a wise and trusted guide. A wise and trusted guide, advisor, and teacher. Mounts again says that this picture, or this passage, pictures the older women, those who were experienced in life, marriage, and child rearing, taking the younger women in the congregation under their care and helping them to adjust to their responsibilities. When we consider the things that older women are to teach the younger women, to be sober, to love their husbands, love their children, and all the rest, we see another dimension of this most holy and blessed work of Christ's churches. And that's the aged woman is doing the work of a spiritual mother. This is not in any way to denigrate a younger woman's physical mother, not to take her place. In fact, the young woman's mother may be a fine Christian herself, or she may be a total heathen. The point is, there is this blessed part of Christian life in which the older women are actually, by their teaching and by their mentoring, encouraging these young women, they are becoming spiritual mothers to them. Once again, not in any kind of official capacity, but made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit and being in union with Christ, the aged woman arises to become a wise woman. She becomes a mother in Israel. That's God's purpose. By the way, young men, you ought to be looking for a woman, a wife, who's in training for this. You can see, at least the best of your ability, that this is her desire, this is her goal, this is what? By God's grace, she wants to be. Does she want to be a Titus 2 woman? Well, the things an older woman should teach a younger woman speak of a nurturing, loving mother-daughter relationship. Here we see the older woman of faith, of holiness, of self-control, of maturity, entering into relationships with young women so that they may know how to walk in God's design for womanhood. That's one of the reasons we've lost it. We've got generations of young women that have learned all they know about womanhood from television, from the internet, from Hollywood, from the workplace, from the government schools. Well, that's tragic. That's why I'm delighted before God that we have some change makers here in the congregation. We've got parents who take this serious, and we have young women, as well as young men, that are being brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord with a biblical vision. Brethren, I'm telling you, it is so bad out there right now that many professing Christians, and I have no doubt that some of them actually are, many professing Christians can't tell the difference between the calls to biblical womanhood and the culture they've been brought up with. And they think what they believe about womanhood is normal. And when they see people attempting to do what the Scriptures talk about, they think they're weird. But let them think what they will. Walk with Christ. Ladies, women, young girls, walk with Christ. Give your heart and mind to the Scriptures. Soak your soul in truth. Learn the greatness of His love, and you won't fear losing the world's love. So, older woman discipling has the elements of teaching, of mentoring, of mothering. That's what's going on here when Paul says that she's to be a teacher of good things. A teacher, a mentor, and a mother. Now, Mounts says once again, it is a blessed and needed ministry that cannot be accomplished by men. Well said. This quality, being a teacher of good things, leads into the next section on younger women as verses 4 and 5 spell out what the older women are to teach the younger ones. And again, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, that's something that we will take up and we will look at those things in some detail. Now, we want to consider a Titus 2 woman. Consider that a Titus 2 woman brings younger women to their senses. You like that heading? I want to talk about why I've chosen those particular words. You'll see that unfold here. Paul says that the aged women must live as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And why does Paul command this? Surely the glory of God is Paul's ultimate goal. Yet a grammatical clause points us to Paul's goal. Now, this is where knowing a little something about grammar is very important. That they may teach the young women. They're to be teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women. That's the Holy Spirit-inspired goal of why Paul has just said what he said. This is an important purpose clause. Verse 3 closes with teachers of good things. Verse 4 begins with that they may teach. These four words represent two words in the original Greek text. The word that introduces what we call a purpose clause. That literally means in order that. In order that. By this clause, Paul unites the older and younger women in a close relationship. And in doing so, he gives us one of God's purposes within the life of God's household. In other words, the aged women have a holy responsibility to be sound in faith, holy and reverent in their behavior, in control of their tongues, in control of their appetites, and teachers of good things in order that they may teach the young women. It's a package. It isn't just something speculative. Oh, I went to this conference and it was wonderful and I bought this book and so I want us all to read this book together. This is talking about life, something that someone has learned under the sound preaching of God's Word that has transformed the life and so transformed the life that the person can articulate to another person what God's done and what God's doing. And why something is a right way to go and why something is a wrong way to go. It's the whole thing. A truth-informed life that bears fruit in other lives. This is wonderful stuff. This purpose clause points us to Paul's goal for older women. The aged women must earnestly pursue a holy life in Christ Jesus so that they, by word and example, may mentor younger women. This little clause gives aged women God's purpose for their lives in the church. It's amazing throughout the year, I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, I want to be an active part of the church, and I'm not sure where I fit in, tell me what my gifts are, and those kinds of things. Now, I'm not mocking that idea, that there's some important things about that, and people need to be instructed in those matters. However, if we were to give ourselves to more careful reading of the Word, we would find out that the Lord has a place for us. Every woman here should be on the way to a Titus 2 woman, and every Titus 2 woman should be vitally involved in what ways the Lord opens. It may be more for some than others, maybe considerably less for some than others. But being alive and awake, even the single women in our congregation that have never been married, older women, or that perhaps are widowed, have many good things to say. They may not be able to take all of these domestic issues here and apply them from personal experience herself, but at the same time, she can have all kinds of input regarding these matters that is wise, good, holy, just, pure, helpful. I mean, we need to stop and think for a few minutes here. Is that by their godly example, these women are God's change agents? You want to change the world? Be a Titus 2 woman. Dead serious. Dead serious, you can say and do things that can help a young woman get a grasp of who she is in Christ and what it means for her to be a woman in Christ. You've just changed a woman in our culture. That's powerful stuff. And if she gets it, not just because, well, everybody in the church does it, but I mean, she says, whoa, this is what the Scriptures teach. Have I missed this? I'm going to walk in this. That very woman who at one time could only think of a six-figure business and paycheck might bring up and catechize a child who becomes the next Spurgeon. Or brings up children that are godly advancers of the kingdom of God. Women, you're in a vital place. Stop and think. Every generation and every culture has its own wicked, sinful, and perverse, ungodly practices. Crete has, or Crete was, an island in the Mediterranean Sea. The Greek-Roman pagan culture on the Isle of Crete was immoral. And the Cretans were known throughout the ancient world for their lying, their love of sensual pleasure, and their gross excess. How would you like for your culture, I mean, not just you, not just your family, your entire community to be known all over Florida as the liars of the panhandle? Yeah? I mean, that this is the way Crete was. A little flotilla. This little floating community of liars and immoral people out there in the Mediterranean. And what do we see? The glorious grace of God. Amazing grace. Amazing love. Reaching down into Greco-Roman darkness and saving men and women and children. And little colonies from heaven are beginning to grow. What's a vital part of that? The aged women who help the younger women learn how to walk as Christian women. In their culture, men usually worked outside the home and participated in politics, assemblies, public activities. Women did not usually participate in these things. They stayed at home, sometimes even kept in their own quarters. It was not unusual for a woman who had grown old to feel useless and unable to get around as before. And this could easily lead to hours of drinking and gossip. Two of the things that Paul addresses. What could possibly enter a culture of such moral decay What could possibly enter a culture like this of such moral decay and produce godly, virtuous older women who could teach younger women how to be godly? The answer is the gospel of grace in Christ Jesus and the doctrine of Christ. Conversion to and union with Jesus Christ transformed these aged pagan women from the inside out. From the inside out. The younger women could then observe a crucial characteristic of these aged Christian women. Self-control. Not only an important word here, but an important Christian concept, and we want to spend our last few moments on this. Paul says that they may teach the young women to be sober. The words, they may teach to be sober, all arise from one Greek word. One. Sophronizo. The word originally meant restore to their senses people who are raving. That's the way it was originally used. One recent commentator says sophronizo is a sobering slap in the face, that is, to bring on someone back to his or her senses. Now, that's in the original meaning of the word. Okay, we're not making that an application. It's something that we do now. But this was the notion was to shake somebody awake, to slap them if they needed to wake them up. Perhaps you've seen in some old film or maybe even in real life where someone's freaking out and losing control and having a hysterical emotional wig out. And someone grabs them and goes, and they kind of freeze for a moment and they realize, oh, I'm being a fool. Right? Well, spiritually speaking, that's kind of the idea here. Everybody here, spiritually, if you were drifting, I said spiritually. I'm not talking about slapping anybody around. Wise them up. Wise up is what one commentator says is appropriate here. Wise them up gets close to the force of the Greek word. Perhaps the word was used because the teaching was to be more by personal example than by any kind of official verbal instruction in the church. Sophronizo came to mean to instruct someone to behave in a wise and becoming manner. That's why I used the heading, to bring them to their senses, is to bring someone to live, to behave in a biblical manner. There we have it. To make someone sober, self-controlled. This particular word is part of a word family that defines the character of the Christian life. Self-control. Paul uses it throughout the pastoral epistles. And this sums up in one word what God desires in every Christian. God wants men, women, older and younger, self-controlled. And by the way, parents, you are not helping your children to be prepared to be vessels of self-control if you do not control them by discipline. Hear that? Part of what we're to do as parents is the best we can. We need God's grace at every moment. But the best we can prepare them to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways we can do that, and even a child who is not born again can be told, wait, and they wait. Not now. And they get it. And that takes discipline from the parents. Well, that's something of what we have here. We've got a mature woman who has learned to be self-controlled before the living God. And now she helps a younger woman emotionally, spiritually learn self-control. as the text makes obvious. Some people talk too much or too intensely. Guilty. Some people talk in ways that need some encouragement. It's just when it comes out, it's all like barbed wire. There are people that act. They have attitudes. When you talk to them, it's not encouraging. We need those who can help us and see us and help us to get some people skills. We're living in a day where it's hard to find people with any people skills. Parents, that's your fault. You should be working with your children and helping them to understand. There are ways to act around other people, and throwing their hands up and being crazy all the time and dancing on the table isn't it. Yeah. So, what do we have? We have a very important thought set before us. A Titus 2 woman is a teacher of good things. God's grace makes her a teacher and a mentor, and she's a mother in Israel. A Titus 2 woman brings younger women to their senses. An important purpose clause helps us to see that this is what a Titus 2 woman is to be doing within the congregation. And then there is the important Christian concept of self-control. That's what it begins with. That's what the good things she teaches begins with. She helps the younger women learn how to control themselves. And in our day, that's a big job. That's a big job. I look for the day, and it's already begun here. I thank God for it. We've begun. We have some women that could sit down with a younger woman and begin to teach her and begin to encourage her. That no, just having emotional freakouts all the time is not the way a Christian woman acts. And responds to things. And she can learn to trust her God and walk with her God and love her God. Cast herself upon His grace and know His love, His encouragement, His day-to-day strength, wisdom that comes from on high, life-changing truths. Glory to God. That should be taking place here. So, let's close with this. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the blessed mediator, our prophet, our priest, and our king. He loved His bride, the church, before the foundation of the world. He bled and He died on Calvary's cross. And He rose again to secure everlasting life for His bride. He not only showed His great love for His bride by His crucifixion and resurrection, but also by the great and good gifts He gives to His church. One of those rich, precious, invaluable treasures is godly, older women. Charles Spurgeon said, I'll give him the last word, and how beautifully can an aged Christian woman, by her kindly example, be a teacher of good things. There is no more charming sight under heaven, I think, than that of an elderly Christian lady whose words and whose whole life are such as becometh the gospel of Christ. We need Titus 2 women. As I've been saying and will continue to say, we need an army of them. May God in His grace, through Christ Jesus, grant them. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful love and Thy goodness to us again tonight in Christ. Thy Word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. It is beautiful. Father, I thank Thee for the parents here who have taken Thy Word seriously and that they have been working so hard to bring up their sons and their daughters according to the Word of God. Bless them richly with multi-generational fruit. Oh, righteous Father, I pray with all of my heart, bless all of the girls here, all the young women, that their hearts and minds would be fixed on being Titus 2 women. And Father, I pray that Thou wouldst bless the men. Help us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now take us, use these truths in our lives. Let it not just be religious chit-chat, but Lord, may it truly be the transforming work of Thy Spirit in our hearts, bringing these truths alive. May it be to Thy glory, the good of Thy church, the transformation of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's be dismissed, brethren.